Good evening, everyone. This is Vicki Ford with the Ask Spirit Now show, and I am so happy to be with each and every one of you this evening. I'm sitting over here in the North Georgia mountains just enjoying. It's like fall here, so it's just been so pleasurable. And I'm so excited tonight because I have a special guest. His name is Richard King, and he's from California, so I know I have a lot of listeners over there. So I'm just so excited to have him. I want to tell you that he is a very well-known numerologist who has authored over 9 books, and one in which we're going to be discussing a lot of the issues in the book, The Age of the Female, 1,000 Years of Yin. And so we basically will be talking a lot about that, and when later on in the hour we'll be doing some readings, but we're going to do some conversations about this book because it's very, very fascinating. Richard has also created King's Numerology System, which I gave him just a kind of a brief reading several months ago and said this is going to be one of those books of numerology that many, many people will be reading for many, many years, long after most of us are in other carnations. So I just wanted to share that with you. And you can go to his website for more information on his readings that he does in numerology at richardking.net. So, Rich, are you there?
I am here, Vicki, and thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Well, you're very welcome. You earned it. I have to tell you that Rich and I are going to talk a lot about his book, but I have to share an incident that happened today that we're going to talk about vegetarianism because that's part of the book. And I'm going to go ahead and let you just ask why you feel it's so important, because it's in your book, about being a vegetarian.
Well, I think the predominant reason is for spiritual reasons. That's why I'm a vegetarian. And there are many reasons to be a vegetarian, certainly the health aspects, the economic aspects, and that sort of thing. But the bottom line is that if we are in a spiritual ascent mode and we want to elevate our spirit, there is no other option but to be a vegetarian. I say that lovingly. I say that kindly. I have not always been a vegetarian. I have been for the last 30 years, but there was part of my life when I did eat meat. Now just the thought of eating meat makes me sick. So I would never be that. And the reason for that is that there comes a time when we are in this ascent mode, Vicki, and all of you that are listening, when we have to cut the karmic killing cycle. If we kill, we must be killed. We must never forget that. Every living creature has soul. And it is really not in our divine right to go take the life of another human being. Now, mystics and saints, the highest level of mystics and saints, have understood that everything in this world is involved with killing. We live on death, basically. So they admonish us to take that food which creates the least amount of karma, so we avoid having to come back to the enormous amounts of karma to pay those debts off, which we acquire when we eat meat. And we can burn off our karmas from vegetables and fruits and nuts through our meditations. So it's very important for us to make that shift at some time. It is frankly untrue that we can make spiritual progress by eating meat. In fact, and I know this might sound a little harsh to some, I'll say it as lovingly and as kindly and softly as I can, but if we truly believe in love and talk about love, let alone living a life of love, it is impossible then to go have a hamburger if we're about a loving soul. When we look at the great souls who have been vegetarians throughout their life, and there is evidence that Christ himself was a vegetarian by his own words, which we can talk about in a little bit, then it's impossible for us to eat meat because it involves killing. And then we acquire the negative karma from killing. And we will have to pay off that karma either in kind, in coin, or in an equivalent amount of our own good karma. And eating that meat creates a very heavy burden, which ties us to this world energetically, and we can't get up. We can't ascend. We can't get our spirit out of here because it's too coarse. So that's the main reason I'm a vegetarian, and I'm happy to be a vegetarian, and I'm happy to spread that message to other people.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and I want to tell my story. I know Rich has already heard it today because I was so profoundly affected. It's changed my life. I have always, Rich, eaten vegetarian for years and years and years, but I'd always add some chicken, maybe some fish. And so today, and it's not because the tuna was bad, because the tuna's fine. I'm not sick right now, and I ate it today. But I have never experienced anything like this ever. And I sat down and had some tuna that my daughter had for camp, and she chose not to eat it. She says, I just don't want to eat it anymore, Mommy. And I went and ate 4 or 5 crackers with this tuna on it. And when I finished eating it, all of a sudden, something shifted in me. It was not because the tuna was bad. All of a sudden, I felt, and it makes me want to cry when I talk about it, because I felt the fish, and I almost, it was like I was eating a human. I felt the fish's feelings of pain and of anguish. And because when he was caught, it was a male, when he was caught, he did not die. It took him a while. And I felt in my heart his thoughts and his feelings, and it profoundly affected me, Rich, to the point where, I mean, I was crying and trying. I went through meditations today, and I vowed that was it. Now I understand why people, I just like the taste of vegetables, but now I understand, because the pain that these animals and these fish and these, I know there was a porpoise that was caught there too, because I felt it. I mean, it just changed my life. So I just have to share that with all the listeners, because when something profoundly affects me, it changed my life. So who are some of the other people that you know of or have heard about through history, Rich, that are vegetarians?
Well, it's very interesting. There is a document in the Dead Sea Scrolls in the 22nd chapter of St. John that says, Christ says, in fact, eat not the flesh of your innocent prey, lest you become the slaves of Satan. And, of course, he references in that passage, he references the fact that in Genesis, God said, eat not don't eat animals, eat fruits and vegetables and so forth. Some other souls who have been vegetarians throughout history, and some great souls, have been Gandhi, of course, and we know in our age, Albert Schweitzer, who did not eat meat. He was the great philanthropist, had a double doctorate, one in medicine and one in arts and sciences, because he had respect for all life. Count Tolstoy, Einstein professed a vegetarian diet. I don't know if he was a vegetarian for his whole life, but he certainly professed it. Leonardo da Vinci, Percy Bysshe Shelley, St. Francis of Assisi, Plato, Paganini, Schopenhauer, all of these people were vegetarians. George Bernard Shaw, the great writer, was a vegetarian, and he just said, all animals are my friends, and I don't eat my friends. And your experience today, and I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this, because when we as individuals start climbing spiritually, we come to a point in time where we realize this great feeling of compassion that you experienced today, when these other creatures that we kill suffer, and we go through life and we don't think that they suffer. We don't think that they have souls. And yet, when somebody in our life dies or we experience pain or suffering, the first thing we often do, which I have done in my past, is start blaming God. God, why did you do this? Why did you take this person or that person? But we don't stop to think that we, every day when we eat meat, we are responsible for taking a soul's life, and we must pay for that. And that pain comes back to us in many forms, in heart disease, in all kinds of diseases of the body, in our own people, friends and so forth, family members being killed. That's just the way life works in this dimension. And believing that it doesn't is not going to save us. This karmic law of sowing and reaping is a law. It is not a philosophy. And we will be bound by everything that we do. And if we kill, we will be killed, says St. Charan Singh of the 20th century. He also says, if we want to make spiritual progress, we must follow a vegetarian diet. There is no other way. Now, if we don't want to make spiritual progress and we want to be bound into this dimension of polarity and coming and going forever, then, you know, have at it. Eat as much meat as you want. But we're not going to make any kind of truly spiritual gains as long as we eat meat. It's impossible to do so.
Well, I totally understand, because I was telling a friend of mine tonight that I just feel so in connection with everything. Not that I didn't before, but it's on such a heightened level now, because I had to pretty much, Rich, be in meditation. I had to cleanse my system. I had to go through a cleansing of some of the blood cleanses I go through, and just a lot of spiritual healing today after that experience, just to clear out my energy. And it was, I was in connection. I know a lot of people may say, you know, she sounds a little strange, but I was actually in connection with the soul of that fish that I ate, because I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't kill you, but I ate you. So, but I want to move on. Now, I am so excited about your book. In chapter 2, you talk about the I can't even say it. Help me here, Rich. The shift.
Yeah, it's the millennia shift.
Thank you. I said it earlier, but I can't say it right now. Starting in January 1st, 2000, and you talk about the one vibration, the masculine vibration, and then you talk about we're being in the two vibration, which is the feminine. And I right. thought that was so interesting, because I know I'm an 11, and you were talking to me so much about the one and the two. When you, by the way, everyone, Rich did a reading for me a couple months ago and for my daughter, and it was profoundly clear, the clarity for my life. It was just awesome. So I want to thank you. But anyway, well, talk to us about that.
Well, it is, so many people are having difficult times right now. And we people on the earth right now, are in one of the most dramatic, profound shifts of energy that exists. And it will probably not be for another, I would say, 7,000 years before a shift of this type takes place. And who knows where we will be then. Hopefully, we will be in higher realms than this plane of existence. But everything in this world, and this is what we have to understand, is based in energy. Pythagoras, the famed mathematician and philosopher, who was also a vegetarian, by the way, said numbers rule the universe. Everything is arranged according to number and mathematical shape. The greatest scientist of our civilization, many think, was Sir Isaac Newton. Newton said God created everything by number, weight, and measure. And when we think about it, everything in life can be reduced to numbers. Light can be changed to number, reduced to numbers. Sound can be reduced to numbers. Music as part of sound can be. When we look at the elements, boron, zinc, oxygen, helium, nitrogen, gold, all of these substances and chemicals in the atomic chart can be reduced to numbers. In fact, gold has a letter value, AU, and I believe it's, I forget exactly what its number is. I think it's 79. Silver, it's the same thing. They have these numbers and letters because everything can be reduced to numbers. Time, as we know, is a known factor in time, in numbers, correct? But so are periods of time, especially periods of millennia, which are massive tidal waves of energy. The last 1,000 years was ruled by the number one, which was the energy of the male, of independence, of planting flags on continents, of becoming unified as a country, and so on and so forth. But now we are in the two millennium. And when I wrote that book, The Age of the Female, it was one of the most exciting books that I've read. I loved writing it. I love sharing those truths. And I always knew that we were approaching, as a numerologist, we were approaching the second millennium. So I was wondering, what signs were we going to get to show this? On the 31st of December, 1957, when you stack and add those numbers, you find that is a 2000. That is the first date in history when the number 2000 was evident in a numerology chart. All of the components, the day, month, and year, equal 2000. That is when the first sign of this shift between the last 1,000 years and this 1,000 years began. And what is fabulous about this is that the number two, by the way, doesn't just rule females and yin energy. It rules others. It rules relationships. It rules intuition. It rules indirect behavior and those sorts of things. Everything that is a yin. On the 4th of October, 1957, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik. Sputnik itself is an 11-2 vibration. But what is fascinating is that just 3 months before this this 2000 time period came into existence, we, as a world people through the Soviet Union, launched the first satellite. Why is that important? Because Sputnik was the first time in the history of man when he stepped off of his own planet, so to speak, and began exploring other worlds. Others is a two energy. And then on the 31st of January in 1969, from a numerological perspective, we hit the first 2000 pinnacle. For those people who know pinnacles and challenges, they can read about that in the King's Book of Numerology 2, Forecasting Part 1. This shift, which began on the 31st of December 1957, and the core shift, which began on the 31st of January 1968 by my calculations, will not end until the 31st of December in the year 2031. That will be the time when the challenge becomes a 2000. And so on the 1st of January in the year 2032, every soul on this planet will have infused in their numerology chart the energy of the two in all aspects of their chart. That is a phenomenal thing to me. And then it's going to take through the end of this century before all of us who were born in the 1900s, the 20th century, die off. And then everybody from that point forward will have this two energy infused in their charts. So we are smack dab in the middle of this change between one energy of the male and the two energy of the female. One is fire, two is water. One is logic, two is emotion. One is independence, two is dependence. One is solo, two is social. Two is the first social vibration, which is why we're seeing so much emphasis on Facebook, Twitter, cell phones, and all of that sort of thing. And I wrote that book, and I want it to be, and I'm not going to update it, because I want it to be a snapshot of what was at the turn of that millennium back in the year 2000. Facebook didn't exist then. Twitter didn't exist then. But we see how rapidly in this last 10 years we have advanced into this social energy of the two. Now, because this energy has come upon us, it has totally flipped us upside down and inside out. It has created so much confusion because it is a diametrically opposed energy from the energy that we knew growing up and were born into in this last millennium, those of us who were born in the 20th century. Those people who were born in this millennium, beginning in January of 2000, are in that. They don't know what it was like to be independent, to be free, to stand on your own two feet, to stand up and be accounted, which is one of the things that scares me, by the way, because I'm a strong believer in independence and in freedom. And I hope to God that we never lose an understanding of that, because we're walking right into an enslaved state if we're not careful. So that's it. It's a totally different set of energies that we are in. In my book, I go through all of the dates and all of the major players. For example, one of the things that, well, I decided to write this book, I was doing research on it, but when I went to the Apollo 11 30th anniversary website, you can check that out, I decided at that point that this book must be written, because on that website, you will see the moon. The moon has always been a feminine structure. It is ruled by the number two. It is in the upper left-hand corner of this website, in the Apollo 11 patch that these astronauts wore. And then the word Apollo, is they take the two L's of that word and they make it into an 11, which is the master root of the number two. It is absolutely phenomenal to me. And this is what happens when times change. God speaks to us in numbers and symbols. Here's another profound thing. That on the first day of January in the year 2000, the U.S. Mint distributed the first coin of its time, of this millennium, and it was a gold coin of Sacagawea. Sacagawea, number one, is female, but she is not the only one on that coin. She has her son, a papoose, over her right shoulder, signifying not only that this is the age of the female, but this is the age of others, of two, and everything that the two represents. Now, I can promise you, nobody from the U.S. Mint contacted me and said, Rich, what are the symbols of this upcoming millennium? We want to create a coin to exemplify this. Of course, that didn't happen. It happens naturally, but it is all there. When you look at the dates, for example, of the Berlin Wall, from its inception to its destruction, those are all two dates. The first man in space was a two. The first woman in space had two energy in the chart. The first American woman, the first American man, all of these people, the Wright brothers, they all have two energy dominant in their charts. Why? Because we were moving toward the second millennium in the 20th century itself, a two. When we look at the suffrage movement and all of that, is all a two energy. The word suffrage itself is a two. It's really a fabulous account, and I would hope that people can go to Amazon and buy that book if they're interested in this type of thing. Our lives are not happenstance. They are exactly calculated to the nth degree by a power, Vicki, that is so vast, so incomprehensible that man cannot comprehend it. And we see that in our numerology charts. I could not do my work if it were not for the fact that God has created all of these numbers that he creates our destiny with. And those people who know me know that my readings, as you suggested, can be pretty powerful because they show us our destiny. The second a child is born, we can know the general blueprint of that destiny if we want to. We don't have to, but that information is there. Why? Because numerology is a divine science. Numbers are divine. Pythagoras was right. Newton was right. Even Einstein, by the way, who was the greatest scientist of the 20th century, said everything is determined, the beginning and the end. And that's really how it is.
Well, I think it's fascinating. Now, one thing you mentioned that I wanted to pick up on is that so much of the Twitter and the Facebook, but what about all these children that are, you know, 9, 10, that are all into these DSs and all of these little iPods and all of that? Is that part of the two energy? I mean, what is that all about? Because that's just bizarre to me, because I'm from the other century, you know?
Well, we all are. And I don't, what is a DS, by the way? I don't know that.
DS is those little games, Rich, that all these children are playing. It's like they're like little teeny computers, just like a computer looks like, but they're tiny, and they have games all in them, and they're just, the DS is, you just see kids everywhere playing them, and I just think it's so fascinating because it's like so much a part of their life that it's, you know, it's not something that we had 25 years ago, or at least
right.
I didn't.
No, well, none of us did. I mean, computers are so new to us, but they're moving so fast. But all of these technologies have closed our world, have made it much smaller. And I don't know about the games, except from the fact that games are competitive. And the number two is a competitive energy. It's one person versus another person. If you look at the number 11, you can see that those two symbols of the ones are not just numbers, folks. And that's what I want people to understand, that when we look at numbers, they are labels for energy fields. When you look at another person, my hope is that people, once they understand numerology, will start seeing people as energy fields, as a complex structure of energy, not just as flesh and bone and blood, because we're so much more than that. But getting back to that 11, you have one person versus another person, one ideology versus another ideology. Part of the conflict that we're having now is that the world is growing so fast because of these technological advances that philosophies of some countries are imposing themselves on philosophies of other peoples from other countries. And it's becoming quite problematic, especially the West versus the East, when women's power has been stifled for so long in the East, for example, but now is being put upon by the West. But I assure you, this is the age of the female. It is going to happen where more and more women are basically emancipated, because this is her time. This is not the age of the male. That doesn't mean that men are going to be feminine or effeminate, but it does mean that the energy now upon us is about others. Look how fast women, for example, have risen onto the public stage. In a matter of a flash of a cosmic eye, this has happened. And now women, here it is 2010, we have women who are generals, admirals, they are leaders of industry, they are billionaires. This was not even on the horizon. Well, it was on the horizon 20 years ago, but now look at it. And so women will start being more powerful and in charge, as they have been. This is what it's like. That doesn't mean men are going to take a back seat. But this is not really a man's world anymore. It's going to be a world of others. And the thing that all of us must do is understand this and come to a sense of balance and harmony within ourselves. Because if we don't, it's going to be a very rough ride. Because the old, the monarchy, the monarchical times is gone. Those times are gone. It is now the age of others. And Princess Diana, in my book, Blueprint of a Princess, Diana Frances Spencer, Queen of Hearts, I talk about her being a millennia bridge, which I believe she certainly was. May I talk about her for just a second?
Well, yeah, but just say that word one more time. You said that she was a
She was a millennia bridge. She was between the first millennium and the second millennium. She died. She died on the 31st of August, 1997. And she was born on the 1st of July. So we're coming up to her anniversary. But this one, it's profound for this reason. Of course, she was a British citizen, and I hope that people from Britain are listening. I used to live in England, so I have a great affinity, and I've had past lives there. But in the entire 1,000-year history of the British Empire, the Union Jack was never lowered to half staff for the likes of anybody. Not William Shakespeare, the greatest playwright and the most quoted author of all time. Not Winston Churchill, arguably the greatest statesman of the 20th century. Not Percy Bysshe Shelley. Not Admiral Nelson, who is still a hero. Not none of these kings and queens. No one had the flag lowered to half staff in that 1,000-year period. Now, here comes Princess Diana, who didn't even go to college. She failed her O-levels twice. And yet, when she passed on, that Union Jack was lowered to half staff. And the Queen, in fact, bowed her head in Princess Diana's funeral procession. Now, why is this profound? One, because Princess Diana was really no head of state. She was a princess by marriage, but obviously she was excommunicated from the royal family. However, when that Union Jack was lowered to half staff, and this is the profound thing, just like the Sacagawea coin, it divided that flagstaff into two parts, heralding the oncoming second millennium. It was clear as day when I saw that. And here was a monarchy. When that flagpole is in one piece, flag at the top for 1,000 years in the British Empire, and for one time, you know, for that time, the sun never set on the British Empire. So here we have a one. That's monarchy. That's the rule of one, the energy of the one, of independence. But now here comes Diana. She dies. The flag is lowered to half staff, dividing it into two. Now we have the age of others. Very profound life. And in fact, when we look at her funeral procession, five men, the number of change, followed her funeral procession through all the way up into the abbey. And when she was in there, when her brother finished his speech, there was an enormous applause from the outside of the abbey, through the abbey doors to the inside. In fact, in the book, there are some quotes. One gentleman says, if it had been left to us inside this abbey, we never would have applauded. But the applause came from outside, and it just ushered in to the abbey. Why? Because this, too, rules others. It rules people in general. It doesn't rule monarchy anymore. It rules relationship. And it was the people who created all of that applause, who forced that flag to be lowered to half staff. And half the people in the world, 3 billion people at that time, watched her funeral. It was a dynamic, profound event in world history. And I think it's one of the hallmarks of Diana's life.
Well, I was one of those that watched it. I think we're going to just take one call tonight because there's so much we want to talk about. But there is somebody that's been hanging on, Rich. Her name is Reverend Rose. She's been on my show before, and I think she just wanted to talk to you. So sure. If we could take her for a minute, then I want to get into meditation because I really have a lot to ask you about that.
Absolutely.
Is Reverend Rose still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, hi there. I know that you wanted to chat with Rich for a moment, so I just wanted to say hi to you down there in Fort Myers.
Thank you.
Rose is a spiritual healer herself. So, did you have
a
question for Rich?
Not really. Actually, I'm finding the information, Rich, extremely fascinating, and I'm sitting here taking notes. But I like the fact, one of the things that you said, numbers rule the universe, and numbers are labels for energy fields, and I'm absolutely fascinated with that.
It is, and Rose, they rule our destinies, and everybody has one. And what I have found, I'll tell you, being a numerologist has humbled me to the nth degree. I have been overtaken sometimes and literally dropped to my knees, because when we do a numerology chart, and I've done thousands in the last 30 years, we see the absolute perfection of a power. Call it what you will. I like to call it God because it works for me. Some people say spirit, right. Some people say source, some people say mother. It doesn't really matter, because none of us as humans will ever be able to describe God, because we're finite. We have a finite consciousness. That doesn't mean we can merge into God, but right now we're just too small. So when we look at numerology charts, we see the precision of how everybody's life is absolutely intricately connected to everybody else's life in their entire life. Now, what power is there, I ask myself, which can create a destiny for every living thing on this planet and interweave that destiny with everybody else? It is absolutely beyond my comprehension. I don't pretend to know what God is, but we can see his work through this. And let me say this too, by the way, to Rose and all of your viewers. Even though my system is called the King's Numerology, and God has basically allowed me eponymously to use it. That word means to attach your name to something. To me, there is only one king, and that king is God, and I truly believe that numbers are his divine way of communicating with. There's one way of communicating with us. There are many ways, but it is a very logical way. It's a way to prove the existence of God. Nobody can look at a numerology chart and see the veracity of that and say, oh, there's not a power that exists that created this. It's absolutely impossible if you are a fair-minded, clear-thinking, balanced person without the agenda to try to disprove God, which is insane. Even Newton said, just the thumb alone tells me that there's a God. And when you look at these great minds, who were vegetarians, by the way, and there's a connection between great minds and vegetarianism, as far as I'm concerned, they all understand that there is a power greater than them. They get it. I'll tell you everything, and I'm very clear on this. I always tell people this. Nothing comes from me. Everything comes through me. And I did not start getting any of this numerology information until I got on a spiritual path. And then it just started coming to me. And I started sharing it with people and felt it would be an insult and a lack of duty on my part if I did not share it. So my life has been about trying to share this message of destiny and so forth. That's why the King's Numerology is called, basically a divine system, because there is God and he is divine. Our lives are divine. And I want people to get that message. So that's it.
And we're all facilitators for that divine energy.
Yes, we are. I absolutely believe that.
One thing I wanted to say to everybody is that Rich has a course. I know I got some sort of email on it that he is doing online, aren't you, Rich, to help people to understand numerology?
Well, on my website, on my website, richardking.net, in the numerology section, there are many free articles that people can open up, and they can copy and paste if they want and save the lessons on how to create their name and what different numbers of the charts are. There are also articles there on people, and I find it fascinating to correlate people's numbers with their lives. There are quite a few articles there. But I just have created a new course. It's a home study workshop based on my book, The 5-Minute Lover, Discovering the Secrets of Your Life, Loves, and Relationships in 5 Minutes. And the course is called Your Love Numbers. It's at yourlovenumbers.com. It sells for $149. It includes an ebook, which is the 5-Minute Lover ebook that you can buy on Amazon for $23.95 or so, no, $23.98. It includes a workbook that I created for that course, which is 167 pages. It's 8.5 by 11. You can download that and print it out, put it in a spiral binding. There are six accompanying MP3 files to go along with the workbook. And then I'm also offering a free ebook of great love poems, which I've produced. Being an English major, I love literature. I love words. And so, that's in there too. I think it's a great value for the price, certainly for the knowledge. What I've done is take my experience of what makes great relationships, because I've studied those. I got into numerology, the heavy part of it, by studying relationships. I wanted to know what makes good relationships good, why are the good ones good and the bad ones bad. because my relationship, my marriage is falling apart. Couldn't understand it. I was getting into numbers at the time. And I know that order is the first law of the universe. So I went on this quest to find these answers. I found them. Doesn't mean there's not more information. There is. But this program will help people understand, if they're not married, how to create or how to see the numbers that will work with a partner, with a spouse or a business partner, or to understand your children, your other family members, and so on and so forth. That way, when people start doing this, there will hopefully be fewer divorces, fewer broken hearts, fewer children crying, you know, and all of that tears and heartache that have been part of our world as of late. And to me, there are solutions, and this course, you know, hopefully will help with that solution, because I've been through divorce twice. I've been single now for 17 years, and I sympathize with all of those people and beings that have gone through it. Now, if they do go through it, it is in their destiny to go through it. And I have known this knowledge for decades, and I didn't share it because I understand about destiny. However, I finally came to the realization that if this who's to say that if this knowledge were not shared, people are not supposed to use this knowledge so they can make better relationships, so they can have, you know, more harmonious, more loving relationships that are going to last, not these, you know, short-term, 3 month, 6 month relationships that fall apart and leave everybody, you know, in pain and suffering that can create all kinds of problems. So that is the program I think you're talking about.
Yes, it is. While Rose is still on the phone, I wanted to talk too about, Rose and I are going to be doing retreats together, doing meditation retreats and, called the Inner Sanctuary Training. And are you still there, Rose?
Yes, I guess I am.
She does those as well down in Fort Myers. But Rich, I was so impressed in your book, the same book that we were talking about earlier, The Age of the Female. I wanted to ask about the statement, whatever happens is destined to happen. And we just have a few more minutes. But I really like that statement, because a lot of people feel. Go ahead.
Well, yes, it absolutely is a fact of life. And when we study the writings of mystics and saints and even other people throughout time, they all agree that life is destined. Why we got to a point of thinking that we have so much free will is beyond me, because when we study ancient scriptures, that's not the way it is. On my website, for those people who would like to read some destiny quotes, if you go to the numerology section, you will see a link there to workshop worksheet. If you download that, the third page has a brief page of destiny quotes. For example, the Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. It also says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The Quran, the Grand Sahib, the Jewish faith, the French, all have quotes about destiny. Here's one from Albert Einstein, who was the greatest scientist of the 20th century. Now, listen to this one, and then the following quote from Guru Amar Das, who was a mystic. Einstein said, everything is determined, the beginning as well as the end, by forces over which we have no control. It is determined for the insect as well as for the star. Human beings, vegetables, or cosmic dust, we all dance to a mysterious tune intoned in the distance by an invisible piper. Now, Guru Amar Das says, God himself forces his creatures into destined paths of karmas over which they have no control and which cannot be effaced. Whatever is destined to take place must take place. Now, when we look at this quote from Einstein and Guru Amar Das, who were separated by hundreds of years, they use the exact same phrase except for the pronouns. Einstein says, in relation to the determination of life, over which we have no control. Amar Das says, over which they have no control. The exact same words except for the pronouns we and they. There are many other quotes. We look at Johann Friedrich von Schiller, who says, there's no such thing as chance, and what seems to us merest accident springs from the deepest source of destiny. Here's one from Sawan Singh, who was a saint of the 20th century. He says, the total number of breaths which one is to take till death, the morsels which one is to eat, and the steps which one is to walk are all preordained at birth, and no one can alter, decrease, or increase them. He also says, the law of karma and the doctrine of predestination and preordination are true and inexorable. We reap what we sow. Our actions in past lives bring about our fate in this life on which our bodies are fashioned. There are many, many quotes to that effect, but that's kind of the basis. We do have a predetermined life, even to the morsels of food we are to consume. That's how exact it is. If life were not destined, I could not do my numerology work. I would not have wasted 30 years of my life doing it.
Well, you know, what's so fascinating too, Rich, is that I've had astrologers on, and I actually have an astrologer who's a very dear friend of mine. And what's so fascinating is even with that, there's such an indication that things are already established when we come in. Our death is pretty much, maybe no one else can predict it.
That's right.
But
we have
made the decision before we even came in when we were even to pass, because you'll hear about people in a car wreck and the one person that should have passed does not. Right, and somebody right. else, you know, and people wonder about that. But I don't, because I've talk to people like you and you know, astrologers, and I know when it's your time. And I feel that's where, Rich, the word comes in, the surrender word, where, you know, just let go of all the worry. People like me, you know, you've done my chart, you know, I love to worry. But the truth is, why?
That's right.
Why worry? Why worry?
There's no need to worry about anything. What has to happen has already happened. We have to face what we have to face. We can face it cryingly, we can face it weepingly, or we can face it smilingly, but we cannot avoid it.
Yes.
It is not in our hand what to do or what not to do. It is right. not in the hand of the actor how he is to act. He's being directed. He has been given a particular part to play. He cannot go off that direction, off that part. Now, I know this is strange to a lot of people, because the human ego wants to believe it has free will. And indeed, it did at one time in its existence. But over the eons of our lives, we have created so many karmas. We have woven this web from which we cannot extricate ourselves. So, hence the spiritual path. We have to just change the way we think. We have to purify ourselves, and we can elevate ourselves eventually above this mess that we have got ourselves in.
Well, as I understand it, if we choose not to do this, it's almost like we're being led anyway. Believe me, in the last couple of months, the things that I've gone through, Rich, there's no way if I had put a bulldozer in front of me that it would have changed anything.
You know, because we can't.
We simply can't, you know.
And I must tell you, for people who are listening and don't know this, I have spent all my adult life as a martial artist. I have my own studio. I've taught professionally for 31 years. And in martial arts, you are always working to control your opponent, because if you don't, your life can be at stake, or the people you love if you're defending them. But in my own personal life, what I have found is that I can't control anything. My life is going the way it is going. My personal experience has taught me that. My spiritual path teaches me that. My numerology studies of 3 decades has also taught me that. I am absolutely convinced that our life is destined to the breath. And that's very comforting, because we know there's a God. And then we know if we plant the right seeds now, that we can have a better future. But we have to do the planting, because we're going to reap a harvest of some sort. Sometimes.
Well, I think it's actually very reassuring, because I know this from my own experiences, but it's just reassuring to know that we are not alone, and that we do have the support of God, spirit, the universe, whatever you want to call it. And in doing that and having that support, we can relax some in our lives and just say, wow, let us just live our lives. And it's quite beautiful. But we're coming up to the end of our hour, and I just want to thank you all. And I do want to let you know that you can reach Richard at richardking.net. And, you know, he does some great numerology readings, like I said earlier at the beginning of the hour. I had one done for myself and my daughter, and I tell you, Rich, it really helped me to understand the whole dynamic of the mother and just myself, and it's just been, I look at it frequently. And I also want to let you know that you can go to AskSpiritNow.com and request a reading from myself as well. And also look on my retreats, because we've got one coming up in Asheville on July 11th. It's going to be a very short one, but it's an intro into Rohan, which works with the law of attraction and helps you to release some of those old karmic patterns so that you can begin life in a better position in life and feel better about your life. So I do want to welcome you to go to both of those websites. And if you're in the Fort Myers area, I don't even know what happened to Rose. But, you know, give Rose a call. Everybody can call me on my website. But I just want to thank you, Rich, so much for coming on this evening. And is there anything you want to say in like a half a minute?
I would like to thank you very much for having me as a guest on your show. It's been wonderful. I love to share these messages. And I do have a special for your viewers for a reading if they would like one. My normal readings are $300. That includes a full chart and at least an hour, as you well know. We usually go over that. But they're only $150 through midnight on the 4th. So in the next 48 hours, if they would like to take advantage of that special, they could go to my website. Go to the numerology section. You'll see the tab there. And there's also a book special, King's Book of Numerology, Volumes 1 and 2, for only $45. That includes tax, shipping, and handling. So we do have those specials for your guests.
Well, I have one question for you myself, which others may feel too. I am not, I don't even, mechanically oriented. Can I still learn numerology if I'm not real, with the mechanical part of it, the real mathematician part.
It's very easy. You don't have to be a mathematician. If you can add single numbers, you can be a numerologist. The thing with numerology is just learning to associate the numbers with their keywords. That's all you have to do. And my books explain it step by step how to do that. That would be a good place to start, I think. But no, anybody can do this.
Okay. Well, I've got your books, and I've started reading on them, so that's awesome. I just want to thank everyone for being here on the Ask Spirit Now show. It is such a joy in my life to come here every Friday night and be with each and every one of you. And again, continue to send the emails. And I've so much enjoyed getting to know so many of you through readings. So I just want to thank you so much. And again, thank you, Rich, for your beautiful message and your wonderful, intelligent words and your heartfelt message. And we're going to have to say good night for the next show. But thank you so much. And everyone, be blessed. Good night.